We're in the Sermon on the Mount, and as we're doing this, we're into the prayer time where they're basically asking Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us how to pray. And it says in Matthew 6, 9, it says, pray like this. It doesn't say, pray these words. It's a model prayer to challenge us. And it's more of a challenge than a statement. It's a challenge for each of us. And then it starts with, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, we've already talked about this. Excuse me, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Our Father in heaven. And for Jesus himself to say, call God your Father, is one of the most amazing statements on the planet. We get to, he wants that relationship with you. He wants that relationship with you, like a father. And then it goes on, and it's not just Father, it's our Father, our Father, our Father. We have family. Again, we've talked about this. And then it says, may your name be kept holy. May your name be kept holy by me. People who know I'm a believer are watching. Watching for how I respond to things. Watching what comes out of my mouth. They're watching. May your name be kept holy. Excuse me, something in my throat. And then it says, the next verse is, may your kingdom come soon. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. May your will be done, done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, there are six petitions in this model prayer. Six truths that come out. What are you doing? Oh, thank you. I thought you were coming to take the mic away. Thank you. I don't even look at that table anymore. That's the Looney Tune table. Yeah. Focus number one we talked about, hallowed be your name, or may your name be kept holy. That's a challenge, Lord. Lord, I know you're challenging me to keep your name holy. I carry your name. I carry your name out there. May your name be kept holy. And I'm asking, I'm committing, I want to do that, Father. I want to do that because we bear your name out in public. And then, your kingdom come. May your kingdom come soon. And this whole kingdom, because you're the king, is a very interesting statement. We go from Father, a personal relationship, an affection, to, I work for the king. I'm an ambassador for the king. This is unbelievable. Your kingdom come. So the question has to be asked, what kingdom is being referred to here when we pray that God's kingdom come? What kingdom? And I think really there are basically three responses to this, to kingdom. The focus on God's kingdom brings three different thoughts. First thought is the earth already is in God's kingdom. It's not like he owns this. This is his. He spoke it into existence. Period. End of story. Yeah. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Yeah. The world and all its people belong to him. And whether we understand what's going on, and why aren't you taking it back? Bob, when you get to heaven, you'll get it all. I could come now, but there's still some people I'm going after. I could come now. And somebody asked, I did a thing on leadership on YouTube this week for an organization out of Texas, and they asked, how did you come to Christ? And I think they knew, and that's why they asked it. And the things that God did in my life, I mean, when my mom died, my mom was a believer, my mom died when I was 16, and I was so unbelievably angry at God that it cost me an extra year of high school. I liked high school a lot, I guess. I didn't get out till 19. And just angry, but God knew exactly how to get my attention, and most of you know the story, that I'm a sophomore in college, and a freshman shows up named Rosemary, who's drop-dead gorgeous, and I ask her out, and she wouldn't go out with me, and I asked her out pretty much once a week for a couple of months, and I finally said, are we ever going out? She said, it doesn't make any sense, you're not a Christian. And I asked her, what does that mean? And she gave me the gospel. And I'm thinking, wow, you believe that? And I went back to my fraternity house, and I'm telling the guys, she's not going out with me. And several of them said, well, she goes to our church. The only reason I went to church was to attempt to get a date with her. And I went to church, and the pastor's name of that church was Spurgeon McCart. Oh, yeah, and he was a killer. He was unbelievable. And saw something and came and found me on the campus. and just wanted to talk and sit and talk with me. And I can't believe you did. You knew how to get my attention, a beautiful woman. And you got my attention, and so I go to church. Wow. You're in charge. And the joke is, I'm in the ministry today. And my 50-year football reunion up in Washington, D.C. at my high school took place, and they're all calling, are you coming, are you coming, are you coming, which is hilarious. I played in 3 plays in 4 years, so I can't even believe they remembered my name. And so I didn't go, and you know the story, 2 of them flew down here. What's happening? We were Googling and looking. You've written 11 books? And on and on and on. It's all God. He is in charge. He is in charge. The earth is the Lord's. And so the earth is already God's kingdom. I don't know what's going on. I don't need to know what's going on. I know Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. He's in charge. So what I need to be doing is noticing every day. What are you doing around me, Lord? What's going on? What do you want me to do here? What do you want me to, what? I think for me, that was the key to the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, because the first 2 religious guys walked by. They had important things to do. And this businessman sees him, stops, really? Works on him, puts him on his donkey, takes him to a motel, pays the bill, feeds him, and obviously he travels there a lot on business, and says to the innkeeper, take care of him. If there's any more money, I'll pay you next time I'm coming through. He did what he was supposed to do that day. Was it an inconvenience? Yes. Was it costly? Yes. We need to be noticers every day. What's going on around us? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. It's a picture, really. Your kingdom come also refers to the second coming of Christ, obviously. Sets up his eternal forever kingdom. His second coming. Your kingdom come, a worthy prayer, Matthew 8:11. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven's a real place. And I'm convinced if he had a book in the Bible that attempted to describe heaven, we'd be jumping off of bridges to get there. And we need to get excited that it's been paid for us. That's where we're spending forever and ever and ever. And I read Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. If you're looking for a really good read, that's a great read, Randy Alcorn, Heaven. And he believes that we'll all be 33 forever in heaven, the age of Jesus. I don't quite know where he came up with that, but I'll take it. 33 instead of 74, I'm there. Bring it. Yeah, it's a real place, and an amazing place. So, question begs to be answered. Why don't American Christians live for and anxiously anticipate the Lord's coming? I think we're overblessed. I think we got too much. I have so much. I have 2 cars. This is ridiculous. You know, unfortunately for me, to be married to a girl who grew up post-World War II Japan, they were missionaries in Japan, made all their own clothes, never had store-bought clothes. Homecoming court in high school, made her own clothes. Homecoming court, homecoming queen in high school, homecoming court at our university, made her own clothes, never had anything, never really wanted, still doesn't want anything. Amazing. And to watch her function with, I can't believe we get to do this. I can't believe we get to go out to lunch. Because she never went out to eat growing up. We're so blessed, but we need to know where it comes from, and we need to know it's not even close to what we get in heaven. I do hope we get to eat, but not even close. Yeah. So, I think we're overblessed. Letter C, is his kingdom reigning and obvious in my life? Is his kingdom reigning and obvious in my life? He is my father, but am I also treating him with awe and respect because he's my king? You're my king. And king, that you want a fatherly relationship with me, King Jesus, this is unbelievable. We should be in absolute awe. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and on earth in my life. In my life, am I different from other people because I know he's my king? And everything he says, I need to be doing. And everything that's written down there, I need to trust that it's true. Yeah, there's one of the things for sure, there's no space in my life to judge other people. Because I know me. I know what goes through here. I know what I watch walk by sometimes and say, Father, forgive me for that. I know the words that maybe didn't come out but were close when I'm mad at somebody on the highway. I know it. And so how can I judge other people? And he listens to my brain and my heart. He knows. Wow. Yeah, I have an important role as the king's light bearer. I need to constantly check what I reflect to the world around me. I represent the king. I work for the king. It was very interesting when General MacArthur called for people to come to Japan post-World War II and called for missionaries to come to Japan. Now it's time to rebuild. And the massive amount of missionaries that went into Japan, and Rosemary said, they were always so grateful. They were always so grateful. But I also knew, you know, there was like no Christians there. I mean, my dad's little church, you know, had 20, 30 people. And they were there 12 years. Her first language is Japanese, actually. And they were there for such a long time. And she realized with her little friends, she was the representative of the king. And they would come, the Japanese in their little neighborhood, outdoor plumbing neighborhood, they would come and ask permission to look in the windows Christmas morning just to watch what was going on in the house and how they celebrated the birth of our Lord. It's not that much different here. You got people around you who know you're a Christian. They want to see, are you different? I am carrying the light for Almighty God. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means my behavior, my attitude is reflecting my Father and my King. How am I doing in that? Yeah, Jesus began his sermon in our hearts called the Beatitudes, the attitudes to be, and then moved on to our behaviors, our responses to the people he has around us. And when I do that, I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I met a guy yesterday up in Fort Lauderdale who came up to me and said, you know, you led me to Christ. And I said, where was this? And he said, I'm Jewish. I walked into First Baptist Fort Lauderdale first time, and I remember your sermon, and he said something, and I had to say to him, I don't think I said that. And he's looking at me, and he said, oh, yeah. I said, Jesus drew you to Christ. But he'll even use Balaam's donkey, so I'll think, yeah. And I had somebody come up to me at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale and said, the first time you were the interim here, this is a quote of yours, I put your name under, would you sign my Bible? And I said, I can't sign a Bible. I didn't write your Bible. No, I won't sign your Bible. I know that's a tradition, I just can't do it. But can I also say, I'm pretty sure I never said that. Probably will from now on. That's a very cool quote that you got from somebody else and gave me credit. Yeah, we need to be reflecting him, pointing to him, pointing to him, pointing to him all the time. Yeah, our hearts, it's a heart issue. And when I'm in a situation, and I don't know why Jesus likes to do this, he likes to put us in situations where we're way over our head. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to say here. I don't know how to, because you're right, but Bob, you don't know anyway. We were talking, David and I were talking about my first interim was, used to be Flamingo Road Church, now it's Potential Church. And just as I got to be interim there 38 years ago, they're finishing up Rock Creek and all the communities around there, and people were moving in droves. So my first year, it went from 240 people to 1,200 in 10 or 11 months. And so pastors asked, they went from one service to three, can we come and sit and go to the third service and then get some lunch with you? We want to know what you're doing. And I said, yeah, you can come. And they came, and we got to eat across the street in the shopping center, and they didn't have any questions. And I said, O.S. Hawkins was the pastor of First Baptist back then, probably one of the greatest evangelists I've ever met. And he said, well, I don't know what's going on here. We just saw it, but we also just heard your sermon. I said, what does that mean? He says, well, it really wasn't that good. And it was just hilarious. And so Benetta found all the old tapes. And she said, what do you want to do with these? I said, can you get me a player so I can listen to the early potential church things? They were horrible. Horrible. I'm standing there going, They were horrible. And watching God do what God chose to do with that church. I mean, I've never seen a church like that. It kind of never has mattered who's in the pulpit. God has decided that church is going to happen. It's been amazing. So when we get out there over our head, and honestly, that's the church where I got there for my first Sunday. I was so nervous I got out of the car and threw up in the parking lot. And I remember saying to God, if there's anything you could do, power go out or anything, to get me out of this, I so don't want to do it. Oh, Father. Yeah, don't trust anything else. Don't trust anything else. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Hebrews 12:3 says this, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When you're standing up for the king, yeah, everybody's not going to be happy about it. Period. Matthew 12:22. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. I am amazed at the patience of Jesus with them. All they had to do was point, and they would have been turned into dust. Creator of everything. But I'm amazed at his patience with me. I'm amazed at his patience. Forgive him, Father. He's not a believer. Forgive him. I'm amazed at his patience with me. And you know the story. At Christ the Rock, when I was the interim, Stu brought a lot of the Dolphins and cheerleaders to church, and the cheerleaders took over the front row. And that wasn't good. No. And they were wearing next to nothing in the front row, and I'm standing there trying to look over them, and I know, I have to believe Jesus was laughing. And I said to the in the next week's staff meeting, I said, third service, when the Miami Dolphins cheerleaders come, I need our staff taking over the front row. And two little girls in their 30s came back to my office at Christ the Rock. Can we talk to you? That makes me very sad. This just makes me sad. And I said, what makes you sad? That you have to remove the cheerleaders. And I said, can I just say God made me a visual human? I'm a man. I'm visual. And that means two things. It gives my wife power because I'm visual, but that Satan also knows that, and he's going to come after it. So, Father, yeah. It continues, Jesus is responding to these guys in Matthew 12, 33. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, it will be good. Its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. So he did come after him a little bit. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of his heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Yeah, his kingdom in my heart. Does he sit on the throne of my heart? Do I acknowledge him not only with affection as Father, but the ruler of me? Everything he says in his word, your will be done, starting with me. And that's why he started with the attitudes, the be attitudes, the attitudes to be. Yeah, God blesses those who realize their need for him. God blesses those who mourn their sin. God blesses those who are humble. God blesses those who hunger for righteousness. What's my passion? Oh, Jesus, my passion is to be more like you. I want to be like you. I know that's not possible, but that's my passion. Yeah, God blesses those who are merciful. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. My motives. My motives. God blesses those who work for peace. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Yeah, this is about attitudes. And then It's what's my heart's desire? My heart's desire should be to serve my King, who came and died to pay my adoption fees, to serve my King. How can I serve you today? And I think it's real important to, okay, I'm going to serve you for the next 10 years or forever. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. I want to be a noticer here today, Lord. I want to notice in this circle, in the staff as we work together, and the people that come walking in with needs. We had the sweetest time. Rick showed me the video of, we got a car donated this week. As you go out, it looks like a little Austin Cooper. It's not, it's a Fiat. One other time, a man a little older than me bought a car, and his kids didn't want him driving anymore. And he had like 5,000 or 6,000 miles on it down, and they gave us the car. But this is not a typical car we get. It's really nice. And giving it to that mom yesterday, watching her just weep. Oh, just weep. How do I get this? And we have to stop them from thanking us. I didn't buy the car. I didn't get that car. We got a call from Boca that a family had a car they don't want anymore. And as you drive out, you can see it. It's actually right in front of my white Toyota. But it's like, wow. And she was just sobbing. Yeah, the King. Because the King owns it all. He owns it all. He's capable of doing anything, giving anything. But what I need to know is, I don't own me. He owns me. He died for me. Yeah. And so, yeah, I need to decide, your will be done, Lord. The phrase, your will be done, needs to start with me. It needs to start with me. So that all that I have is His. Can I just say, your money's not yours?
Amen.
Your money's not yours. It's His. He permits you. He could have had you be born somewhere in Africa and not have a nickel. It's His. And especially at such a time as this, Father, how do I bless you? How do I give my money in a way that gives glory to you? Gives glory to you. Yeah, so, question, is your prayer life dominated by requests and things for yourself? Me, 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 me. Can you give me this? Can you fix that? And, you know, He knows what you need before you even ask. That's a verse. He wants me to pray around me. It's okay to pray for yourself, but around me. Also, so much more important. Lord, would you heal that person of what they're dealing with? Yeah, your kingdom come. It can't be just about me. Letter A, are you asking your Father to help you become more Christ-like? Can I be more Christ-like? And can I be more Christ-like in my marriage, for those of us that are married? In my marriage, in my workplace, in my workplace. Yeah, am I serving my wife? Husbands, love your wives as much as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Wow. Look what He did. What He did for His bride. Took off His kingship. Came down to heaven. How the angels must have wept. We're not going with you? No, not this time. Next time. And I can't imagine how they're watching from heaven, how He was treated. And He walked into that knowing for His bride. Husbands, love your wives like that. Love your wives as much as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up. Gave Himself up. Are you asking your Father to help you notice the needs around you? Notice the needs around you. Can we notice? I need to notice the needs going on around me, Father, because I'm your valet. I work for you. So I need to look around your kingdom. What are the needs? Yeah. Are you asking? Are you praying for the needs of others? For the needs of others. Oh, yeah. Are you asking your Father to use you in a way that gives Him the glory? That gives Him the glory. Wow. James, when he opens his letter, the book of James, opens like this. James, a bond servant of God and the Lord Jesus. A bond servant. Now, bond servant is interesting. You know, there's different kinds of slaves. A bond servant is when you're a bond servant by choice. You choose to be a slave by choice. So maybe I owe you money and I can't pay it, and I become a slave of yours till I'm able to pay it off, and then I come back, and then I say to you, but I want to stay. I want to keep working for you. I choose to be a bondservant. A bondservant of God. James, a bondservant. We're called to serve. We're called just to serve the king. You know, to pray, your kingdom come, is to make a commitment to live out the Beatitudes. It's to pray, your kingdom would reign, that your kingdom would reign totally in my life, Lord. Totally. This is not for me. Totally in my life. Yeah, praying this prayer means we are saying, according to Kent Hughes, being in the kingdom of God means my rebellious will must be put down in order to follow the king's will. I choose to continually repent. I choose to continually repent. I honestly believe the reason my first eight years here at Sharon House were a disaster is because I thought I was going to be the guy to rescue Sharon House. I thought pretty much I was the man. And we had a government grant. They existed 5 years before I got here. I worked for the government, referring boys to the one house in Hollywood. Government grant, and my first month I dropped the government grant. Don't want the government grant anymore. God can do this. That year we had three other employees, so there are four of us, and a house of 12 little boys, and our total amount of money we took in that year was $49,000. And I knew we were going under, and I left where I was living because I couldn't afford it and moved into Sheridan House, but I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. And it took 8 years for me to realize I can't make this happen. It's not working. We're going under. And I got a call from Dallas, Texas, asking me if I would consider being the director of a Christian children's home in Dallas. And Rosemary and I went out to look at it, and she says, what are you doing? You're supposed to be at Sheridan House. It's not working. And she had been praying for me. Get out of the way. Just work on the boys. Get out of the way. And watching God just explode things, and watching a man named John Gossett come and say, do you want to start building more boys' homes? He's a contractor. And watching home and home and home and home over in Southwest Ranches, and wow, Lord. And me having no idea how, because it's his kingdom. His kingdom. I need to get out of the way. Yeah. I need to not be rebellious. I need to just choose to continually just repent of my attitude and my arrogance. When I pray this prayer, I'm making a commitment. I am choosing to follow the king and never look back. I'm choosing to follow the king and never look back. This is so, so pivotal. I'm making, when I say this prayer, I'm making a commitment. You are my king, my father and my king. I can't believe it. Wow. When I pray this prayer, I'm saying I will be pursuing the kingdom of God above all other pursuits. Above all other pursuits. Yeah. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first Amen. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about those things. He's got them. It says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, is the way that verse ends. Wow. Is my total pursuit in life money? Is my confidence in I have some extra money now, so I'm okay? Wow. And I think growing up in the home of a businessman who had lots of money, I really, even though I'd come to Christ, I really believed that phrase he kept putting in my head, Bobby, money makes the world go round. And so Jesus had to just take that down and have me lose the place we were living in and have to move into Sheridan House. And, okay, I'm dependent on you. I'm dependent on you. When I pray this prayer, I am declaring total dependence. Total dependence upon God, my King. It's all you, Lord. Yeah. As I think through this model prayer, I will be more and more convicted of the commitment I am making to be his salt and light in this world. We've talked about salt and light. Salt is stuff you spread and nobody knows you did it. You can't see salt. Light, when they're flashing the light on you, you flash it to him. No, that was Jesus. That was totally 100% Jesus. That was Jesus. So, a little bit ago, I'm at a lunch with a friend, and asking the waitress, I know the waitress, asking her if she's okay, and she said, no, I'm having serious problems with my car, and blah, 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 blah. And she's a single mom. And so we finished eating, and this friend, he says, let me pay the bill. So, no, I'm gonna pay the bill. I wanna leave her a big tip. And this friend says, you know what? I now know why I have a $100 bill in my pocket. And put a $100 bill down on the table. And we had to get out of there in a hurry because I didn't want to see her face. And how much fun was that? That was awesome watching that. Your stuff isn't yours. The King owns it all. Use it for his glory. Use it for his glory. Yeah, yeah. We're called to be salt and light in the world. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. So, Lord, make me a noticer today. Let me see the side of the road people in my life, at work, at wherever, the people in pain and people in need. Make me a noticer, and I will give you the glory.